right, and welcome back, everyone, to another episode of Snack Time with Mike and Ant. I'm one of your co-hosts, Ant Testor, a writer of names and flavor text for Wizards of the Coast. With me, as always, interrupting me, as always, is the and only Mr. Mike Linneman. I would say Master of Weens, but I haven't seen a picture of Dud in what seems like a month. I'm a little upset.
I'm a little sad. I've been using him in DMs.
Yeah, My DMs are severely lacking in Dud.
I haven't been sliding into your DMs lately. Yeah. Noted.
Just gonna throw that out.
Dud has been busy, man. He had a health issue, had a foot injury, had a cast. Dud's been recovering, man. I mean, it's wintertime. Minnesota's cold, and while Minnesota is cold, dude, what's heating up right now?
Rivals of Ixalan is hot.
Dude, Pirates. They're back.
They're back. And Dinosaurs.
We got preview cards today. And we got Pirates, Dinosaurs, Merfolk. The three things that are like, whoa, got it. And we try to divvy these up. And as people of the cast that may be new to hearing us, we're all about that flavor. The best part's the taste. And we, the Vorthos people of the world, care about, you know, the beautiful parts of the game, the flavorful parts of the game, whether it's storyline or bridging the gap between the real and the game to hearing about, what went into the art that went through it. And then the nuance of actually playing as a wizard. So you cast a spell, you as the person is casting the spell to increase your life or the creature size or what have you. So it feels like an experience. And Vorthos covers all of those things, which is kind of cool. And here we talk about those things. And we are, you know, pretty qualified, I'd like to think, for this. Ant works on names and flavor text now.
Yep.
Also works on other games in what spare times he has that he doesn't always talk about, but he does. I'm a former art director of TCGs, which is pretty sweet. And I've done names and flavor text. I was terrible at it, I'm first to admit. But I at least know how it works and the environment that goes into the game. So understanding some of the background behind why is this composition like this? Why is this mechanic tied to this flavorful piece? We're the cast for that. Yep. We really give that background, and we're kind of unique.
Yeah. I worked on this particular set. I worked on Ixalan and Rivals of Ixalan for names and flavor text writing. And, you know, kudos to Blake, who sends us our previews. He's... Of all the preview cards we've ever gotten, he only has ever sent me one of mine. I don't know how he does
Blake
it.
Rasmus. He doesn't know.
There's no way. Dude, in Ixalan and in Rivals, I had more acceptances than I've ever had. And he sent us three preview cards for Rivals of Ixalan, and none of them have anything that I wrote. He's got to know. I think he does it on purpose.
He's just messing with you. That's kind of funny. Which is just funny. But he's like, how do I get different aspects involved? Or he just gave us a camel, and that just made me laugh. I thought that was
amazing. I did really like the camel.
The camel was good. That was, 100%. But today we got three things. Ant, which one you want to start with?
So I'm going to start with your two flavor gems, because I gave them both to you for a very specific reason.
Which is
art related.
So, okay.
Surprise.
Yeah, art related. Okay, so first one I want to start with is Mutiny.
Yes.
Mutiny is a weird card. Sorcery speed, red, one drop, slow. Okay, it's a removal spell. Kind of weird. Shows a woman, some sort of pirate, could be a captain, we don't know. Tied up some dude with some rope. Very, very efficient use of rope. Not a lot of extra slack or extra rope. Interesting. Very good at knots. Must have been great in the scouts. And what it does is it target creature an opponent controls deals damage equal to its power to another target creature that player controls. And I got wiener dogs yapping in the background. What the card does is you can use one of their big creatures to kill one of their smaller creatures, or use the biggest to kill their second biggest. Okay, that makes sense. Neat. What I would really look for is constructed playability here to say, if I'm playing red of any variety, maybe cube, and they have a death touch creature,
yes,
I'm going to kill anything.
I was just going to say that.
Like if they have any death toucher, like especially in cube where it's like in really, really weird stuff, or if they're playing, I don't know, the opposite of red, which would be green, and play one of the best green elves ever, Wren's Run Vanquisher. You know, 2-drop, 3/3, reveal an elf, you know, or pay 3, and it's got Death Touch. It's the same thing that we've seen with the pirate, which the 1-drop, reveal pirate, or it's a 2/2, you know, or cost 3. That card interacts with this 100%. And I think it's just a cool idea. I think it's a cool idea for the flavorful mutiny, and it shows, you know, she's now the captain, and maybe this was the captain, or this was like a lieutenant, and she's taking over. Just very simple composition. Without the name Mutiny, it could be a variety of options, but as soon as you add the name in, it becomes clear. Even without flavor text, it becomes clear. The mechanic, clear. And I like these ones that have this. It's ambiguous until you get more flavorful information. The art itself doesn't lend to what it does right away, though I think it's wonderful because we of the viewer are doing this. We are mutinizing her to him, and we're like on the boat, another boat, looking at them. And it's a digital piece. Gabor and his, you know, his boy Zoltan have worked together, and they used to work traditionally, and now move to digital. So all in all, I like it. I like the colorful feel. I like where they took pirates, and it's a really interesting effect.
I love. First of all, I love the name of this card specifically because, you know, whenever you have a one cost, sorcery or instant, you know, a card that's barely on the battlefield at all, like you play it, something happens, and it goes away. I feel sure. that is a prime position to put a one word quick name. Like, I think it's very aesthetically pleasing to match up with the card that it's on, and Mutiny does that perfectly. The flavor text then to, you know, to kind of like put an end on or put a cap on the whole card is, you know, sure, saying pirate captains rarely enjoy a peaceful retirement, which totally nails home and reiterates in a very different way the idea of a mutiny, right? Because to your point, like, you get the name, you immediately know, all right, well, I feel like one of my opponent's creatures is going to betray the other one in some way. You see the art. Word. The art totally reinforces that. The mechanic hits you over the head with that. And by the time you get to the flavor text, you've gotten enough mutiny as you could possibly stomach, so you think. Right. And that's where it's really up to the writer to be creative and try to put yet another twist on this mutiny flavor that we've already gotten in the name, in the mechanic, in the art. Right. Like, after a while, it can seem repetitive, but spinning it in the way of like, oh, well, retirement, pirate captains retire just like everyone else retires. Right.
Or do.
But in this case, or maybe they're forced into retirement. Right. Maybe they're.
Right.
What's it called? Their severance package is, you know, literally
severance.
Literally getting severed, right?
Nice pun. That's nice. I dig that. I like the bright coloring here, and it's not needed. Literally, it's not needed at all. Like the sash around her waist,
purple feather
underneath
his hat.
Exactly, 100% not needed, but enough to give us a little more flavorful look. And you can find that a lot on fan art things, that they're not always willing to push the color schemes as much as they could. It's all, we're going to do blue and gray. And it can just look drab and a little dull. And you're like, oh, I'm going to make the sky colorful. It's like, yeah, but then the sky is the focus now.
Yeah.
So really, really strong character designs. I mean, yeah, I could see some Steve Prescott in that, guaranteed. Just how the color fits as being harmonious, that's Steve Prescott concept work, no question.
I think other thing that's really interesting to me, so like I did a little painting again, like over the holiday break. I was just, you know, just as
really,
as a way to just kind of like de-stress, right? Something totally different from what I've been doing the past several months,
sure,
right? And
sure.
So I was doing some still lifes, right? I paint watercolor, right? And
one thing
that I really struggle with when I'm painting wood in particular is getting enough detail that it doesn't look like clay.
Or mud.
Yes. And
worse.
And something
mud.
that I'm seeing here that I think is really interesting is that he juxtaposed all of this wood, all the, you know, on the wheel and the ship, on the deck, everywhere, right? Against these heavy fabric and leather costumes so that it sure. makes it easier for my eye to accept that everything else is wood. And there's not a ton of detail.
I see.
Like, there's not a lot of detail in the railing. There's not a lot of detail.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the wheel on the top. There's
the wheel, but that's the most foreground object, right? But those background railings, like, there's not a ton of stuff because it's way in the background.
Well, there's some midtones in there and a couple
but it's
highlights.
Just
but
enough,
I understand what
you mean.
You
know what I mean? Like, it's.
I get you. I get exactly what you mean. Yeah. Especially even like the riggings in the back.
Right.
Very, very minimal.
Right.
And in digital, you can easily do
compared
that.
Compared to all the different folds and you know, kind of, it's almost like looks like color pencil hashing on the fabric just to give it that stitched look. And it.
Well, you can see it on her right leg.
Yes.
So it'd be on
right
her
under
left,
her left
right
hand.
Leg.
Right.
Correct. It looks fantastic. It almost looks like I want to get a woodcut of this.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
And how good that would be. We need a woodcut guy.
Yeah, we don't have a woodcut person in the community, do we?
We need a woodcut guy. We do. We need a woodcut guy. We'll work on that. Up next, Ant, we're going to go to you. You got, this made me giggle. You have Naturalize.
Yeah, so I have
show me what's
yet
up.
Another reprint of Naturalize. Mike and I were talking about this a little bit before the show, and Naturalize has seen so many different renditions at this point. I think this is, what, number 18?
18,
right?
Yeah.
So over time, Naturalize is a collector. Naturalize is kind of like the Vorthos card in that, like, it's collected a number of different arts, a number of different art descriptions, and also a number of different flavor texts in a variety of genres from, you know, classical quotes, from like real world literature to, you know, quotes from direct out of the mouth of one of our major characters or one of the Gatewatch or one of the legends or whatever, you know, to just like quirky little one-liners that we've come to be accustomed to in Magic. So it's just interesting to me that this card has over time just seen pretty much every aspect, every angle of Vorthos that we get on all of these different cards.
Right. And we haven't had it for a little while. I mean, Dragons of Tarkir was the last time we saw this card.
Right. And that angle was what? It was a decaying dragon skull. Right? It was like a moss-covered dragon skull.
Well, you couldn't have this in Kaladesh.
Right. Yeah, oh my God, that would have been ridiculous. Oh, but we could add little gremlin dog.
Oh my God. Artifact dogs? Those are my boys. I love the gremlins. They're fantastic.
Anyways. So what we have here is we have a giant sauropod stomping a sword, right? And we see that sword is just, it almost looks like sheet metal. It's just caved into, you know, the crevice on the inside of this dino's foot. And, you know, it's really interesting shot. Like, it's shot from the ground. It's literally first person as if you're the person who just lost their blade to the foot of a dinosaur. Yep. And honestly, my favorite part of this entire card is the flavor text because, you know, a lot of times, especially on reprints, when they're trying to do something new, trying to liven it up a little bit, you get some really bizarre art descriptions. And, you know, before we ever have a sketch, before we ever have the actual art, when we're writing, like, all we have to go on as a writer is the art description, like what the artist sees when they're trying to do their piece. And if there isn't a sketch in there, you need to just kind of imagine what you think they might do with that art description and try to write something that complements that in some way. And I can remember working on this, not being able to see the sketch and just seeing an art description where they're saying like, oh, there's a weapon. It's stuck to a dinosaur's foot as if it just got stepped on. And I remember thinking like, what am I supposed to, how do you write something about that? Like, how do you write something of value that reinforces the idea that this is Naturalize? You're destroying an artifact or an enchantment. And I think the idea of having a quote saying like, hey, better let the sword go than lose the arm with it is interesting in that, you know, it's creating this immersive visual where like you're a pirate, you have something of value, a dinosaur's chasing you, and, you know, if you don't let go of your object, you're going to lose your arm. And it perfectly sets you up for that moment of like, I have a Mox, or I have a, you know, Sword of Fire and Ice in play, and my opponent plays Naturalize, and I just got to let it go. Sure. Like, sometimes you just got to let it go in Magic.
Just let it resolve. It's not worth the counter spell.
It's not worth losing your arm.
Losing your arm. I'm going to use that. Yeah, literally it is here. It's interesting that you said that this feels active to you. To me, this feels passive. This feels like, to me, like the pirates are sneaking around, especially because Lannery Storm has haste. I would assume that she's trying to either, you know, slip by unnoticed or have some sort of evasion, and this dino just happens to be there, and he's not paying attention. Whatever. He's going to block all day, and he's going to smash something, and you're in the way, you're dead. So you just don't attack sometimes. Right. And you can see it because the face isn't looking at us. We're not getting it where the dino is interacting with us, the viewer. Because if they're interacting with us, the viewer, it looks like a creature card.
Right.
It's no longer a spell. So you have to smash the idea that it's a dinosaur by showing us a different perspective, a different visual narrative. Otherwise, it gets confusing.
Yeah, that's a great point, actually, because I was going to ask you why. I already know the answer now that you said that, but yeah, what I was
you could have this
is why would the artist make the leg and the neck have such a similar texture to the palm trees? And now that makes total sense. It's because you don't want me to right away recognize that it's a dinosaur. You want me to recognize it as removal. And that makes sense.
And that is it's such a huge thing that you see in art students, that they want to portray it really well, to say, you know, we have these rules, and, you know, you got to draw a horse and a person on a horse talking to someone else. But the weird angles are hard. Drawing up someone's nose is really difficult. It's really,
yeah,
really
difficult.
Yeah,
the foreshortening on this dino neck could have been really silly.
It could have been bad. I mean, Simon Dominic's real good. He knows what he's doing. But if you cannot forget at card size, you cannot have confusion. Because as soon as there's confusion, it creates feel bads. And feel bads make casual players turn into non-players. Period. Like, that's a sales issue. Right. And art directors know that viscerally, because you might have market research to say, hey, this demon and this devil, there were some misplays at major tournaments even. And you're like, oh, okay, let's not do that again. And you might have like a growing list of these over time, maybe with different formats like Modern or Popper, something goofy like that. And you keep a thing on the wall to say like, yep, keep in mind, make sure compositions that look like blah, X thing, like a white guy wearing blue robes that looks like Jace facing to the right aren't used again. Or in this case, you know, don't do the zoom out from a dinosaur from 40 feet away so you can see the whole dinosaur, because then it looks like a creature card. And that also fights with another creature card we're working on. So it's something they're very mindful at the art description writing stage. And people who don't think about that, they keep it open-ended. They're like, oh, just have him stomping on something. Well, if people do that, you will naturally draw the whole dinosaur, because that's sweet. You're never going to zoom in on it naturally. That's just uncommon for an artist to do. They might do some turnarounds and thumbnails, but it's not a normal thing people will gravitate to, because it's more difficult. It's considerably harder to do. But it's well done. I like it. And the usage of the sun to show the dramatic lighting, that's very clever. That's very, 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 very well done there. Otherwise, that could have just been a cloud. But it would have been a cloud. And then the top of his head, that atmospheric perspective, because his head is so far away, wouldn't have made sense. But with the sun, that whitening with the cloudiness, you know, works. Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful piece. Also, did you know some of the weird auras that are happening right now? Like, your dude dies, your aura comes back to life, whatever. Now they have an outlet, a trapdoor, right, to keep the format safe and limited.
Just have a dino step on it, whatever. You're good to go.
Yeah, just have a dino step. And it's funny, like, dino step on it, like, huh, that's cute.
I play Necropotence, I play Dino Foot.
Dino Foot. I gained 6 life, you just lost it to my Dino Foot, which is sweet. And it's also 2 mana, so it's almost like the counter spell in green. You play something ridiculous, Phyrexian, what have you, just Dino Foot.
Yep.
Detroit what? We got one more today, Ant. We got to stay under 30 minutes, you know how we do. And it's another reprint.
Our third reprint, so we have Negate.
You have negate. Right. It is also been printed a lot.
Yes.
And it's in standard right now. It was in either revolt. And it really just keeps the spells in check, keeps things back in standard by reprinting it. I love the idea that they keep reprinting these staples. Not every deck is going to need a negate, but every now and then standard format needs like two of these in a sideboard. Because there's some sort of weird thing that you just need to relieve that pressure, just that the threat is contained. Right. And in this case, as you love doing yourself, casuals get one more option for the theme
decks.
That's
right.
You make theme decks.
Oh,
I don't.
Love theme decks. I don't. Dude, I'm all about theme decks.
That's my jam.
For real. Every time we get a reprint, I love it, because especially when it gets new art. It's the first. So every time a set comes out, the first thing that I look for are, what are the reprints? And once I get a list of all of the reprints, the next thing that I want to know is, does the art of the reprint have a different approach?
Yes.
Right?
Because you don't have to explain the card.
But it's not that. That's not what I mean. So, like, in this example, we have Negate, and it's a Merfolk, and, you know, it's a Merfolk countering fire. Like, they're very specific things. So, like, let's say this entire card was reprinted in the very next set. If it looked exactly like this, but instead of a Merfolk, it was a Veldekin. I say Veldekin, but I don't know what the...
Veldekin? Yeah. I think it's Vidalkin.
Vidalkin.
Though I have butchered Tamiyo and Tamiyo before.
We'll use Tamiyo. If instead it was this exact same image, but it had a Moonfolk from Kamigawa instead of a Merfolk, that makes me happy. Because now I have, if I want to make a Moonfolk deck, I have an option. If I want to make a Merfolk deck, I have an option.
You don't want to put some weird dog in there.
Well, if you put a dog in there, that gives me an option for the one day that I want to make a dog-themed deck, right?
Let's hope that happens. That'd be great.
If it was the same image and instead of fire, ice was being countered, right?
Sure.
That's okay, too, because what that allows me to do is, like, maybe my friend plays a ice-themed deck, and maybe I have a Vendetta deck, just like Adame Minguez and his buddies, how they have Vendetta decks against each other, right?
Yep.
Maybe I want to create one that is such a Vendetta deck that even my art counters his art. Now
I
have
that.
An
That's
option,
spicy.
Right?
That's
what
spicy.
I wouldn't want to see is in the next set, a Merfolk countering fire with blue light, because I have that already. You know what I mean?
I see. So you're not a fan of remixed with the same thing. So for example, Vegas, what was it? Not this last Vegas, the Vegas before. They had some of their master set artworks use the same art description, almost the exact same art description. Greatest example is Vendilion Click.
Right.
And Vendilion Click, the original, had, you know, three fairies, there's mushrooms, they're Trixie.
And
then
they were set on Lorwyn.
Modern Masters.
They were both set on Lorwyn.
Yeah, they were. Well, Morningtide, sure. But Will Mirai basically got the same description feeling thing, except to make it his own. Instead of it being Michael Sipfin, it was his.
Correct.
So you're less of a fan of that, though fairy's a fairy. But you would rather have it be a different type of fairy. Because that you can't.
Correct.
The only time you can't do that,
is on things that are legendary. Right. Anytime you have a legendary item, it needs to look a certain way. So in that case, what I would like to see is just a different take on it. So like my go-to example is the two versions of Kamal Pit Fighter. Right. One of them, he's standing very stoic. He's on top of like a mountain or a hill or something overlooking a battlefield. And on the other one, he's like charging right at your face. Very aggressive.
Okay.
Right?
But he's even wearing different armor, though. Same face, but the armor differs.
Right. But again, like, that's like fine. What I wouldn't want to see is two artists paint the exact same image and the exact same pose. Like, that's like, why don't you just give me the original?
Sure. I think for spells, I think you're absolutely right in that. That when you get a dispel, when you get a cancel, you need to have something radically different.
Yeah.
And this thing, I don't think they even need the color blue. That art rule back in the day in like 95 or whatever, red card needs to have red, and that's why Force of Will was so weird, because it was red on a blue card. If this image had no blue magic, none, no blue. Because obviously, I mean, the merfolk is in seemingly water. Look at the fabric and the hair, I guess. Hair?
I think it's
merfolk-y
fin hair
isn't, it's kind of blue, it's kind of purpley fuchsia, which is sweet, great creature design there. But if there was no blue magic here, the card frame itself is still blue. People are still going to see it and be like, oh yeah, that's the negate for
yeah
merfolk.
But you need something that shows that the fire is getting rebounded, because like,
why can't you make it blue and green? That's what
merfolk
you could.
I'm just saying, like, you need something, because to your point earlier, like, if you had nothing here, if it was just a merfolk waving her arm and like fire was dissipating at card size, it would look like a fire spell. Like, it would just look like a damage spell.
You don't need to be, it need to be fire. It can be purple for all I'm talking. I mean, I'm seeing the card like negate, and the original version is OG Jeremy Jarvis, and it you can't even see the character. It's a circle. Like, it literally is a circle. That's what Negate was for the longest time. And then you finally see the art, and you're like, oh, I see. It's a merfolk back there. Okay. But they didn't need to have so much blue. If you look at the OG Negate from Morningtide, there's very little blue. Only in his hands, and that's it. So I'm just saying, it isn't needed anymore. And it could have been an opportunity where you don't have to play on tropes, where it's not, oh, blue fights red. And instead you think about merfolk, deck merfolk, maybe plays against Jund, or merfolk plays against infect. And you don't need to have an infect thing. That wouldn't make sense flavorfully. Why would there be an infected creature or Phyrexian? That doesn't make sense. I'm not saying that. I'm saying color-wise, you could evoke that. And you could give the wink to those players in an expansion set instead of needing a promo to do so. Because a promo, you can do whatever you want. There's not plane specific, whatever, no one cares. In a set itself, you can make nods and winks to that if people understand. Now, I don't know if they want to push that in art descriptions, but I know Howard Lyon does stuff like that all the time. Like, right. He'll just bring it up. Like, he'll be like, oh, let's put it in the birds, like the original tutor. Oh, what does that sound? And everyone's like, yeah, that sounds sweet. But, I mean, what else can we say other than it's a really beautifully well digitally painted merfolk that's, you know, in a setting that's believable. The fire versus, you know, ice sort of, you know, water magic feels very Steve Argyle when he was really rising to prominence. And Magali was that person for a lot of TCGs prior, and now she's kind of a big deal. It's almost like if Therese would have been digital, it'd be very similar to what we're seeing with Magali now. The difference is in Therese is she has paintings to sell too, which creates a different crowd too, and longevity, that's also a thing.
So the other thing that I wanted to talk with you about is just the simple fact that, like, we have three different digital pieces. And they're all sure. Different extremes of being digital. And what I mean by that is if you look at Mutiny's artwork, it's digital, but it's done in a very traditional inspired way. Like, you can look at that and you can see, you know, how you could very easily recreate this with this same effect with like colored pencil and oils and, you know, things of that nature, right?
I love how you think that that's actually a thing. Like, all of these could be done in acrylic or oils. Like, all of them
could be. But when you look at Negate has in my mind, like, every Photoshop, like, superimposed light and fire and water.
You can do that. You can totally do that.
But
it's
as
just
a
hard.
It's extremely difficult, right? But as fans of art, I feel like some people, when they see a digital piece, right, some people really like something like this Negate, where it's, okay, I can clearly see that there were, you know, lighting effects and things that were done digitally, and that's what I like, and that's what I appreciate, and when I come to the game, I want to see cards like that. Then the sure. other end of that spectrum is Mutiny. It's like, hey, I appreciate digital art just as much as I appreciate traditional art. And when I look at Mutiny, honestly, card size, I can't really tell the difference. And it's a good argument for those people who say, like, digital's not so bad. Like, look, there's a lot you can do with digital.
Oh, my God. Digital, not so bad. Anthony, I just want to just shake you right now. I want to shake you. I literally want to shake you. Because even brushes in digital, in Photoshop, can fool the eye. We have Greg Rutkowski right now. And swear to God, when he paints a ship, it does not look like digital at all. Like, I have to zoom in to find a digital brush stroke.
Exactly.
Because his brush strokes are... like,
that's exactly my point. My point is there's...
But that's not better.
No.
It's not a better or
worse. I completely agree. What I'm saying is that there are groups of people who get up in arms anytime they see a digital image. And they're like, oh, digital and magic. Digital doesn't belong in magic. But
those people
how
don't
can
exist.
You look
Come
at
on.
Mutiny and say... like I couldn't even tell. I had to ask you. I'm like, is this digital or traditional? I don't know. So it's
you
just
can,
like
you
the people who say
me.
Like, oh, humor's gone. The humor's gone in magic. Like, no. Like, read the flavor text. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Well, it's looking at the margins. Yeah. You know, you need to find things that are there that you may not utilize. I mean, it's like life gain rares. You know, people are like, oh yeah, they exist, but they don't really ever look at them that close. It's at the end of the day, you crack a pack. You're like, oh, life gain rare.
Yeah.
Okay, sweet. Instead of like getting something like a mythic, and then you really stare at it and you overvalue it. But I mean, Mutiny, it's just the color helps. So you see that bright palette. That's very Steve Prescott. Dude loves his purples. Really does. Him and Jesper. God, they love purple. That can really make it pop. And digital can focus that a little easier, I would argue, because if there's a mistake, you can just reshrink things, change opacity, and then paint over a thing quick, and you can just redo things. You can't do that in real.
Yeah,
paint.
you can
really
experiment, right? You can say like, oh, let's do a purple feather, and if it doesn't work out, like I'll just turn down my saturation and make it like a gray feather.
Yeah, now in an oil painting, you can do that too. You just bring it into Photoshop after the fact.
That's fair.
That has happened too, but. You're right in that. That can make analysis paralysis, that it's hard to finally lock in on something, you know, where it's like, okay, how far to the left should the wheel be? How much wheel do we need for this composition to feel correct? Right. Like, if you cut off half the wheel and make the image start at the top knob, it doesn't read the same. It just doesn't.
Right.
It feels wrong. Like, it feels like it's just tacked on and the focus is just her, and really the focus is the scene. So... in digital can play with that a little better, I would argue, because you can add stuff on and add bleed, pretty simple. But yeah, I think Simon Dominic really has some really, really great brushstroke work and some great basis in, you know, color work that, you know, that isn't digital or traditional. That's just practice. That's painting from life, looking at creatures outside your door. Dude lives across the pond, so I'm sure you see some weird stuff out there. But with, even with Magali's thing, like, if there isn't the magical things there, as I'm alluding to, the character design itself is still outlandish. I mean, you know, it's fuchsia. It's fuchsia. Like, it's a fish. Like, it's a fish. And not like a merfolk is, you know, a mix between the two. It's magic. It's like, no. There are tropical fish that literally look like this. That we can see, and they're super bright. Go scuba diving. Like, sweet. That enough... gets us into that not real. I'm looking for the uncanny valley. I'm looking for the things that are feeling not so solid to do. I'm going to be looking for layers or transparency and things. And in a magical piece, usually when there's magic shown, sometimes it's a little easier for a digital piece to convey that instead of a stompy foot, which if a traditional person painted this, stompy foot's a stompy foot.
Right.
It is what it is. There's not like effects on a stompy foot. Like, no, there's no blur lines or anything. You're not Raymond Swanland. Like, it's just foot slowly being lifted in the air. So I wish we could see more digital pieces, more physical pieces, because then I can have more art shows. But at the same time, there is something to be said that even, as you say, in digital works, which is Painter or Photoshop, there can still be incredible variety.
Right.
And people, when they say it, they really mean magical effects like Magali. they don't mean these other two because they don't know what that these two other are. As you ask yourself, what is this?
Right. One? And that's what I like. I love the fact that we get that variety, right? In every set, we get the extremes, and that's what I want to see, right? Because some people love one extreme, some people love the other extreme, and that's so much better than both of those people feeling indifferent about the middle ground.
That's the worst. I would rather be loved or hated than for someone to not care. It is, and I've mentioned this before, it is the worst insult to say that your art didn't move me at all. Like, I feel nothing toward it. Like, that is so much deeper a dig than, I like this, or I didn't like that. If you're like, I have no opinion, is just horrid. So don't ever do that. Like, it really sits with people a really long time to be like, I didn't even notice it. I no opinion. Like, I would rather have something that I hate or feel strongly about, and some things I do. I love it, or you can hear me gushing about them. But I don't know. I like getting a variety of these things. So in the future, you know, if, you know, Snack Time keeps existing, you know, we would love to have a variety like this again. I think it's super fun to have commons. I love seeing a deeper look into the plane itself. And hopefully with Dominaria, we get some other tastes there. And to get anything else before we roll.
That's it.
All right, well, if people want to holler at you about being wrong about something, where can they find you?
So they can find me on Twitter at Antestator, or they can go to my website, which is antestator.com. But I'm pretty much Twitter's where I am.
Yeah, pretty much the Twitter is at. You can find me doing MTG Fit right now. We're doing a little challenge core for the return of the core set. You know how we do. And I'm at Vorthos Mike. I'm not hard to find. Just Google it. I pop up. We'll be back super soon. We got some more things planned in the new year. We also have some housekeeping to do soon, which you'll hear about. Thanks for watching today, and see you on the Twitters.